And you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I'll begin by reading our text this morning. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. That last hymn we just sung actually expressed my heart so well to the Lord this morning as we draw near to Him. I was just thinking last night, this was supposed to be an intelligent and informative and inspiring sermon on the meaning of this challenging text, particularly the verses 14 and 15. But instead, I found this week was a week of weakness in my life. Fighting sin and Satan's attacks, fighting family discouragements. Even on Friday, sort of epitomized this for me as I was at the homeschool day at the Capitol, which ironically, in fact, I was attending in order to lead in prayer for the legislators there, was a time of weakness. As I waited my time by the west side steps of the Capitol building to come up and pray for the legislators, many of the state senators had gathered there, I found myself slipping into wondering what people would think about me and my prayer. Would they be moved by it, or would they ignore it, or would they think that I prayed very well? And then, of course, God smote me in my conscience. How crazy is it that we would, when appearing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, worry about what mere mortals think of us? How unbecoming, in many ways, of a minister of the gospel. I'd have to say that it so confounded me at that point that I didn't even pray what I had written down, much of what I had written down to pray on that occasion. I muddled through some sincere requests and closed the prayer, thanked the senators that were there for their service, and then descended the steps, glad to have that over with. But perhaps, as I was thinking last night, perhaps God in His fatherly training gave a week of weakness as exactly what I needed in order to preach this text to you today. You see, this was written to us to give us confidence. Confidence in the midst of, or even through, our desperate dependence upon God. It was not written to those who think they're fine and don't have to depend upon God, who have it all together. It was written to those who believe the gospel. It was written to those who burn even in their souls with the knowledge that our eternal life depends upon God giving Himself to us. Without that, we are nothing. But at the same time, it was given to those people, to us, to give us rest in the knowledge that the God upon whom our eternal life depends delights to give Himself to us, delights for us to come to Him in prayer, to seek Him. He loves to give us eternal life in the Son. Last Lord's Day, we saw the connection of these verses 14 and 15, with verse 13. That is, the connection it makes between confidence in knowing that we have eternal life and praying. Praying with confidence before the Father, coming to Him, asking Him, depending upon Him, seeing Him give Himself to us in our lives and in our experience. Prayer is the beating heart of a living relationship with God. confident praying. Praying is the most basic element of friendship with God, knowing that we have fellowship with Him. There is no such thing as life with God that does not include prayer. That man cannot be a Christian who does not cry out to the Lord. And now today, I think it remains for us to seize the confidence that the Son gives us, the Spirit gives us, as He holds out for us in this text, for us to take that, to make it ours, and then to pray. And so when God has given us His own Son, and that Son is the propitiation for our sins, then we can appear before the face of God. We can have this confidence that we have toward Him before His face with the boldness to ask Him what we need. That's what we can do. And so, my objective for this sermon today is simply to encourage and to plead with you to pray with confidence before the Father. I would encourage you, first of all, to pray, simply by pointing out the privilege of prayer, the great gift that's been given to us, as is evidenced for us in this text. When God gives us eternal life, He gives us His Son. We have confidence in that. That's what John's been writing for us to know. Verses 11 and 12. This is the testimony that God has given, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. So we have confidence in that. We receive and we revel and we enjoy that gift then. How? In prayer. We call upon His name. We reach out to Him. You see, when someone gives you a gift, what is the best way for you to enjoy that gift? It's to take it and use it for all that it was meant to be. I mean, if someone gives you a really ugly shirt for your birthday, you might smile and say thanks, and then tuck it way in the back of your closet, hang it there for a couple years, and then donate it to Goodwill or something like that. I mean, it was nice of them to give you that shirt, but when you really enjoy something someone has given to you, what do you do with it? You take it and you use it for all that it's meant to be. And so it is with prayer. When God gives you the gift of eternal life in His Son, what do? You delight in it, and you use it by asking and receiving all that He has for you in Christ. You go to Him in prayer. You gratefully lay hold of the privilege that has been granted to you to have access to the life of God in your own soul. God says, ask. And so you say, thank you, Lord. I will. I will come to you. I will ask. See, the Lord delights to give Himself to us by hearing and answering our prayers. Did you know that today? The Lord gives Himself to us by hearing, by opening, if you will, Himself, His divine life up to us so that He takes knowledge of us, so that He communicates Himself to us. That's the kind of God that He is. He is the kind of God that is overflowing with steadfast love and faithfulness, with life, with love, goodness, patience, kindness. This is the kind of God He is. You know, when the Scriptures desire in Romans 8 to impress upon us, impress upon our hearts, the depth and the power of God's love for us in response to our need, the Scriptures ask this: He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not with Him graciously, freely give us all things? If He's given you life in His Son, He's giving you everything there is to give. And He's taking you into His life. And He's saying, ask. All things are ours in Christ, the Scripture says. And you appropriate all things then in prayer. You make it yours in prayer. You lay hold of it in prayer. Yes, the Lord is infinitely above us. Yes, He is the high and the holy God. Yes, He surpasses everything we can imagine. And no, we don't deserve to come into His presence. But even this great king, he grants you access to himself. He gives you that privilege in giving you eternal life. So, today you have a great privilege. You have a great and immense privilege, a greater privilege than can ever be granted to you by any human. So enter into it. Enjoy that privilege of prayer. Lay hold of it that way. Next, I would encourage you to pray with confidence by praying according to God's will, as the text says. Yes, we can be encouraged to pray because we have this great privilege of doing it. So then as we do appear before God and we lift up our hearts to Him and we ask so that we can receive, how do we have a confidence before Him in that relationship? Well, the Scripture says this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Pray with confidence by praying according to God's will. And of course, in that text, it simply means that God's will is the norm or the standard that governs our asking. This is the standard which your asking has to conform to. God's will. That's what you pray according to. Now, as soon as you say that, the first question that comes to our minds then is, how do I know what God's will is? How do I ask? How do I have that confidence to know that what I'm asking is really God's will? You know, I want to know, for example, what job I should pray for. How do I know what God's will is for that, so that I can pray for it and see Him answer my prayer? Make sure God will answer my prayer. Well, I'd like to give you a twofold answer to that question that comes to all of our minds when we say, I want to have this kind of confidence. I want to pray according to God's will. What is God's will? How do I pray according to it? Let's start at the level of our immediate experience. You will know what God wants by listening to what God says. In some ways, it's as simple as that. You'll know what God wants by listening to what God says. What should I come to Him ask for? Well, pay attention to His Word. Pay attention to the Scriptures, to the God-breathed Word. Then you will know what He wants you to ask. So when it comes to any particular issue in your life, you need to apply the Scriptures to your prayers. For example, let me just run off a few examples here. You know that God says to give thanks in everything. So, as you approach Him, and as you speak to Him, what are you to do? You are to give thanks. Now, there may be times in your life, let me rephrase that, there will be times in your life, well, you will not even know why I ought to give thanks for what I'm praying about right now. I don't understand this, Lord. But you know that's His will. Sometimes that thanksgiving will be given through great pain. And sometimes it will just flow from a heart in great pleasure and joy. But that is what God wants. And you know that. And so you give it to Him. You know, for example, that it's God's will for your sanctification to be made holy in Christ. So pray for that. Pray according to God's word in every situation in life. So your friend is having health issues. How do you pray for that person? Pray, well, Lord, please make that person better. Good. Certainly not wrong for us to pray that. But what about praying for their sanctification through this? That it may well be the best thing for that dear friend's life right now is to go through deep physical weakness, even pain, even suffering, if that will conform them to the image of Christ, which is good, eternally good. And we know that. So, pray that. Pray according to God's will in that. Don't let your prayers become simply about what I want. Because that's not at all then what prayer was designed for. It's designed for a participation in the life of God, the eternal life of God in our hearts. That's what we want it to be. How about confessing our sins? We know we're to confess our sins. That is God's will. How do I find out what I ought to confess? Look at what He said. Look at His Word. Let that light of His Word show you where there is sin in your life. Let the Spirit do His good work of convicting of sin in your life. And go to Him then in the confidence of what Jesus Christ has done and confess your sin. Honestly, naming your sins. Saying what it is before God. Not covering up. Not making light of it, trivializing it. Honestly, giving it to God. We could go on, but you get the idea. So many times we find out when we really start paying attention to the Word of God that the things that were so pressing to us in coming to prayer, you know, I want answers about all these different things, are actually far less important in the grand scheme of things than what we really thought in the midst of the what maybe initially made us want to talk to God about it. Our hearts start being transformed, even through praying according to His Word, according to His will. Our lives start to be conformed to His will. Our desires, even what we consider to be important in our lives, starts to become changed and transformed, doesn't it? This bill was very important to me. I have to pay this bill, and what am I going to do? And I've got to ask God to send me some money right now to pay this bill. Or I've got that particular test coming up here, and this is a biggie, and if I don't pass that, then that's... This is what's pressing on our hearts. But as we go to God in prayer, and we start meditating on His Word, and the fire of His Word by the power of the Spirit warms our hearts and changes our perspective, and He opens our eyes, we begin to see what really matters. We begin to be conformed to the image of His eternal Son. What's happening? His eternal life is at work in you. His Spirit is at work in you, even through your prayers. This is a wonderful thing. This is praying according to God's will. Pay attention to what God has said, and then you will learn what you ought to pray for. And then you pray with confidence. There is a true boldness in your heart, a true desire and earnestness, and confidence before God in your heart when you pray in that manner. But of course, you might ask, can we get more specific? I mean, what about specific situations that the Bible doesn't address in particular, directly? What do I pray about there? How do I pray according to the will of God in these kinds of situations? Yes, I know I can pray for our sanctification. I can, that's good. Should I get more specific? Should I leave it more general? Perhaps you've wrestled with that. I think, yes, the answer is, we can learn to pray aright in these specific situations. One reason I answer that, is even what the Apostle Paul himself prayed in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where he said, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." What did the Apostle Paul look to see happen in these believers' lives and, of course, in our lives? Well, he prayed for love. We know that's a biblical thing to pray for. That's God's will, that we pray for love. And how would that Spirit-worked love work itself out in our lives? Well, he said, with knowledge and all discernment. See, to go back to just talking about love. As the Spirit produces His graces, His gifts, His virtues in our lives, what He's doing is developing in us the capacity, the wisdom, to live like Christ, to be like Christ, to have the Spirit of Christ controlling and directing in us in every situation, so that we do what is right in that situation. So to say it the way we normally say it, so that we apply the Word of God rightly to that situation. Now, we need that development. We don't naturally get it right. It takes work. It takes practice. It takes perseverance. It takes being willing to fail many times and get back up and keep going again. And practice having your senses exercised to discern good and evil. Sometimes, unfortunately, when it comes to prayer and praying according to God's will, we want to default to a shortcut. We want to take a mystical path that says, you know, if you just really wait on God, He'll just kind of put in your head what you're supposed to pray for at that situation. Well, I have no doubt the Spirit does interact with our spirits. But it's not just this, oh, this will just happen. It's, guess what? You're going to have to work. Peter told us, add to your faith virtue. That's this capacity we're talking about. This capacity to know and understand. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and so on and so forth. Guess what, folks? The more you press after that kind of obedience and faithfulness and steadfastness in life, the better equipped you will be to pray according to the will of God. Those really work together. You can't separate out prayer and obedience. Shouldn't surprise us, because prayer is intimately linked with this eternal life of God flowing in our lives. This is the way it works. It takes diligence. It takes practice. It takes effort. That dedicated obedience, though, to knowing and doing the will of God, to working that out, it's striving after wisdom like it is hidden treasure, like Proverbs 2 tells us. We ask God for wisdom, yes, and we strive after wisdom. We look for it. We listen to the voice of wisdom crying. We try to gain it. And through that, then, we are enabled to live fully in and live fully out the work of the Spirit in our lives. I just noticed this, by the way, while we were sitting there listening to the scripture reading this morning from Acts chapter 6. It's talking about Stephen standing before the council, standing before the Jews and preaching Christ to them. And it said they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the Spirit which with which he spoke. Did you see that connection? Wisdom and the Spirit. I think that's capital S. Spirit. Holy Spirit. What was flowing and working in his life? Yes, he was a man full of the Holy Spirit, as the first part of that Acts chapter 6 says. And what had it produced in his life? A wisdom which knew the truth and how that a truth applies right here, right now. That's what he's living out. That's why he was chosen for the position of serving in the church in that way. Well, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about, okay, I want to pray according to God's will. How am I going to do that? Yes, you do need to pay attention to Scripture. You have to learn it well. You have to meditate on God's Word, hide it in your heart, fill your heart with it. But then, praying according to God's will, I believe, is not only a matter of properly reasoning from the Scriptures. Yes, that is absolutely necessary. But properly reasoning based upon the Scriptures, then also wedded with godly living, which is in accord with sound doctrine. Only by living well will we learn to pray well, and vice versa. These really work together in our lives. So we're paying attention to the Scriptures. We want to pray according to God's will. We're striving to obey the Scriptures in everything, all the time, day in, day out, from the time we rise to the time we go to bed. We're striving to communicate that, teach that, lead in that in our homes and families. This leads to praying well, according to the will of God. But there's one more point I wanted to add, because I think if we pay attention to the Scriptures long enough, you seek God by listening to His Word, What you're going to find is that all of these particulars, you know, praying about this situation and praying about that situation and praying about the needs over here, all of these particulars that we're dealing with come together in harmony in God Himself. Because that's what the Scriptures drive you to. God Himself. The Bible tells us about God. He is the main character of the Bible. It's not us. We're not the ones the story revolves around, are we? It's all about God. The Bible tells us how God is working to glorify Himself by establishing His rule of loving sovereignty and fellowship with men. And even ultimately then, dwelling with us forever. That's what the Bible tells us. So, when you pray according to God's will, you're not merely seeking the particular thing of this passing world that maybe your prayer is dealing with at that particular time. Money, health, needs, whatever they might be. God's provision for things. When you pray according to God's will, you're not merely seeking that. What you're seeking ultimately is God Himself. And so we move from the level of our immediate experience to the level of our ultimate experience, which is what prayer is about and what prayer drives us to. Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, describes the wrestlings of the godly man in the face of the complexities of life, especially in this particular psalm, the prosperity of the wicked. How is it that the wicked prosper when they don't seek God? They don't follow His ways. They seem to have life. They're like this great green tree. And I don't seem to have it. But as his soul in that psalm moves from wrestling to resting, he says this: "Nevertheless, I am continually with You. You hold my right hand. You guide me with Your counsel. And afterward You will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." This is what I want. This is what I'm really after in prayer. It's not just, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, help me out here. God, I need this. It's really, I want to know Him. I want that relationship with Him, because in Him is life. And it's only by depending on Him and finding my life in Him that I'll find that. You see, if God has heard me, if I know that God has heard me, then I have already achieved everything my heart could desire. I've already achieved it if I know God has heard me. You have already obtained the greatest gift of all, God Himself. God giving Himself to you. And now, that certainly does have to work itself out all into all areas of life, and so it is entirely appropriate to pray regarding your bills and your health and your family relationships and so on. But in all these things, you are seeking fulfillment in God, not in these things. So ultimately, for God to answer your prayer is for Him to give you Himself. That's what it is for God to answer your prayer. Now, what we have just said here goes a long way, I believe, toward helping us understand the promise of verse 15. Verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." We have that confidence. And verse 15 says, "If we know that He hears us in whatever we ask," if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Have you paid attention to that, what that says? Have you ever thought about that? Has it ever puzzled you? If we know He hears us, we know we have. Like right now, we have what we have asked. We have the requests that we have asked of Him. How does that work? There sure seems to be a lot of times when I've prayed when I thought it was God's will, and it didn't seem to work out like I thought or what I was asking for would come to pass. I think when we understand that ultimately what we are asking is for God Himself, for His life, to be worked out in us. And when we have that, here's, I think, a crucial biblical truth. We really do have everything that we could possibly ask for, where everything will find its fulfillment in Him. Let me just pause on that for a minute. For God to hear you, that is to receive and welcome your prayer in His presence, is for you to already have the ultimate fulfillment of your life. It is also then to have the confidence that everything you are praying about in the here and now will find its fulfillment in Christ. Everything you are praying about in the here and now will find its fulfillment in Christ, whether in heaven or on earth. You see, God will, Colossians chapter 1, God will reconcile all things to Himself in Christ, things in heaven, things on earth, because Christ has made peace by the blood of His cross. There is nothing that will ultimately, pardon me, in God's plan end up unfruitful, nothingness, going to waste. Christ didn't die for that. He died so that all things would be reconciled back to Him. And folks, that includes your life. And that includes everything that's happening in your life right now. That's not outside of God's plan and God's purpose and what He's accomplishing in Christ, is it? That's all part of it. And He's working that out. We don't always see it all. We don't know it all. We might do our best in many ways to pray according to the will of God even and not even know what we ought to pray for as we ought. But God takes up for us by His Spirit, by Christ's own intercession, who's praying even at this very moment for us right here. And He says, I died for this. I died to bring this, what you're experiencing right now, into reconciliation with God. And you will find the fulfillment of it all. Maybe not the way you envision it, because your imagination is very little, my child. You don't know all that's going on here. But as you are seeking me in prayer, I'm communicating my life to you. And I'm taking all of who you are and what you're for, and I'm bringing it to fruition in myself. That's what Jesus does. We're not always able to see how God does all that. But we know that nothing, and I really believe this, nothing of what you have prayed for according to the will of God will fall to the ground. Nothing. That's the promise of this text. So is that not an encouragement to pray confidently? Doesn't that not say, yes, this is worth it. I need to pray. I want to pray. I want to go to my God, the one who has given me access to Himself, who gives me His life in the Son. How is your life going to be brought to all that it was meant to be in Christ? Through prayer. This is going to be the means He's going to use. Take everything to God in prayer. Pray according to His will. And God will work. He will accomplish His glory and your salvation through prayer. Yes, we are weak. We are weak. That only underscores for us what a joy it is to pray. So my challenge to you today is simply do that. Enjoy this confidence that you have before God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Go to Him in prayer. Have you been doing that? How are you going to see God's good plan come about in your own heart, in your spouse, in your children, in your extended family? How are you going to see the life of God at work in this congregation? How are we going to accomplish the work of God in this place? How are we going to make disciples? You know, we can strategize and we can plan and we can prepare our efforts and we can execute the perfect program for making disciples. But all of it's in vain without the Spirit of God giving life. And so we have to pray. Maybe we don't have the talent to pull off the greatest, the perfect program. Maybe we don't have the money to implement the greatest ideas. But we can pray. We can pray in confidence. You can do the same thing in your life. Are you doing that today? At the end of the day, we come to know God and to make Him known by seeking Him in prayer. I would simply urge you today to pray boldly and confidently before the throne of grace.